As we continue our series on fall series, primarily taken from the theme verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, as it says, verse 12, therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Last week, we meditated on the first fall, which was the fallen angel. Many things that we have learned about Lucifer, Latin word, that only a few English translations have translated into a Latin word, Lucifer. Lucifer means light bearer. Lucifer means light. Ophir means bearer. Probably people don't have that name Lucifer, but people have Christopher. Christopher means Christ bearer. You see that? So that's how the word has come. It's a Latin word. So many times we tend not to know the meanings of these words, but sometimes it helps us to know the meanings of these words. Today we are going to continue our series with the sermon titled Fall of Man. I've taken the verse from Hosea chapter 6 and verse 7. You might say, what? How come you went into the middle of the Bible, brother, already? You passed the middle of the Bible. Hosea chapter 6 and verse 7. All together, please, let's read this. All together, big and aloud. But like Adam, they transgressed the covenant. There they dealt faithlessly with me. God, after many years since Adam and Eve were created and the fall of man has happened, after so many years, the Lord God remembered Adam. When these people of Israel were trying to be so treacherous, faithless towards him, you can fill in the blanks as well if you want to note it down. Like Adam, they transgressed the covenant. Some other translations also say, just as Adam transgressed the covenant, these people are also faithless towards me. You might wonder, what is this? Was it a covenant, brother? Was it a covenant at that time? We know the various covenants that are mentioned. The word covenant is not mentioned in the book of Genesis about Adam. But it is mentioned as a covenant in the book of Hosea. This is also called the Edenic covenant. Edenic covenant. The covenant that was given in the Garden of Eden, where God has said some things. And he said, I will let you eat freely of the fruit from any of these trees, but the moment you eat from the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil, you will surely die. So that means it's a covenant, it's a conditional covenant that was given to Adam. And just like Adam transgressed, God had a complaint, or in other words, he was sharing out himself when this particular verse was recorded in the book of Hosea chapter 6 and verse 7. As has been for the past few weeks, I would request people who are comfortable in your language to read the verse that which you are comfortable with. Hoshea Grandamu, Aro Jayamu, Edo Vachinam. One of us, could you please read? In Telugu, big and aloud, please. Shall we all read? If you, those of us who know the language, please read it aloud, please. Yes. Please read it aloud.
నిబంధన మీరున్నట్లు వారు నా ఎడల విశ్వాసఘాతకులై నా నిబంధనను మీరు ఉన్నారు.
లెట్స్ రీడ్ దిస్ ఇన్ హిందీ లాంగ్వేజ్ ఫర్ దోస్ ఆఫ్ అస్ హూ నో ద హిందీ లాంగ్వేజ్ అండ్ వన్ ఆఫ్ అస్ కుడ్ యూ ప్లీజ్ హోల్డ్ ద మైక్రోఫోన్ విత్ యూ అండ్ రీడ్ ఇట్ ప్రాబబ్లీ విల్ ఆస్క్ జేమ్స్ అంకుల్ టు డూ దాట్ లెట్స్ ఆల్ రీడ్ దిస్
వి వచాకు కో తోడ్ దియా ఉన్హోనే వహా ముజ్సే విశ్వాసఘాత్ కియా హై.
Urdu language, please. Let's know.
No, no, mujhse bewafa hi ki.
All right. Now, we'll read this in Tamil language. Any of us who can read the Tamil language, please read it loud and clear. I hope you all understand these languages. Now, probably not all of us understand all the languages, but most of them at least. But it's talking the same thing, that Adam transgressed the covenant, and these people also were dealing treacherously or faithlessly towards him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Father God, open our eyes that we may see wondrous things from your word. Not my words, let people not look at me, but help us all to look at you and your word, because your word transforms us. For we ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. A particular incident about a fall. You know, again, I don't see much of change of colors. Have you? Has anyone seen some change, a little change of the leaves as such? But people love this season as well, as much as they don't want to get into cold season with wearing jackets and sweaters. There are some who keep mentioning about this fall season. It's also called autumn, fall or autumn. People love when autumn comes and fall leaves drift down on autumn breezes. But a man made this statement, and I thought I'll share with you. He's from Arkansas. It's not called Arkansas, Arkansas. It's a S silent, the last letter. But in Arkansas, you have to be careful about those leaves on the ground. He made this mention. You have to be careful about those leaves on the ground because some of them conceal serpents. Serpents conceal themselves or hide themselves under the leaves with the same colors that they have. There are lots of copperhead snakes here, he said. Copperheads are venomous pit vipers that strike you as soon as they sense heat when any part of your body comes near them. And when they blend perfectly in with the beautiful fall leaves, they sense a predator is near. The moment they sense a predator is near, they will sometimes freeze in place, making them blend in even better, no movement, and making it tougher to discern the danger. So he makes this final statement saying, so be careful of those serpents that hide behind beauty, waiting for a chance to strike at you and bring destruction. It only takes one step in the wrong direction. So be careful. I don't know if you have come across snakes. Have you come across the snakes under the leaves, hiding some places? That is how the snakes tend to cause, you know, damage or destruction. So this particular person, having experienced in his place, he said to be careful of these serpents that hide under the beautiful colors of leaves that have fallen on the ground. So I thought it might be good for me to be able to share this particular thing that he has written, article that he has written, to be careful of the serpents that hide under the fall leaves. Today we are going to look into one specific chapter, but before that we look at a few verses before that chapter. Genesis 3 is what we are going to look at. Genesis is one of the, as I can say, a turning chapter, or a chapter which has many beginnings. The beginnings of many things that have happened, many questions that you might have in relation to life kind or mankind. There are many questions that seem to be answered by Genesis chapter 3. This is not a myth. This is not a story created by man in order to be able to give a reason for what has happened in terms of sin. It is a real thing that has happened, recorded in the scriptures of the word of God, and it is repeatedly quoted as well in other places from the book of Genesis chapter 3. Just in terms of continuation of the last week sermon that we have meditated upon, the fallen angel, the anointed cherub, the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 28, he was in the Garden of Eden. And then in the book of Revelation, it says that old serpent, who is the devil, the Satan. And we were trying to connect all those things and to be able to say that the devil or the serpent came into the Garden of Eden. Having created Adam and Eve in the likeness of God, it says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And then God created man in verse 7. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. Both of them were created in the image of God. He blessed them. Wonderful. The whole chapter 1 talks about God said, God saw. God said, God saw that it was good. And when he created man, he said, after everything was over, it was very good. Good, good, good. Everything was good. Chapter 2 also talks about wondrous things about the creation of God. A little more explanation as to how God created man as well. And then if we notice that from verses 4 onwards in chapter 2, suddenly we notice a small addition to the word God. All through the chapter 1 and chapter 2 verses 1 to 3, it talks about God the Elohim. God the Elohim, the triune God, the plurality of El. Elohim, that God. Now from verse 4, now the name of God is mentioned. Verse 4, it says, the Lord God. To be able to be more precise in terms of the creation of God. From now on, you will notice the word Lord God, Yahweh Elohim, Yahweh Elohim. To be able to be more precise about the God whom we are talking about the creation of God. And then we see verse 4, chapter 2. This is account of the heavens and the earth when they created the day that the Lord God made heaven and earth. And if you keep reading, you notice the two words are always tried to be brought forth. So one thing, let me share with you, my dear brothers and sisters. Even in the later chapters and later books of the Bible, it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. Lord God is one God. So when we talk about Elohim God, he is one God, Jehovah. Jehovah, Jehovah means existing. The God who exists. Yahweh, in other words, YHWH. There are no vowels in the language, in the Hebrew language. YHWH, Yahweh. That Yahweh means self-existing one. And later in the book of Exodus, when Moses says, tell me which God, who is that God, what is his name that who sent me to Pharaoh, then God once again reminds himself and to tell all of us, including Moses, that I am has sent you. Yahweh, Yehovah has sent you. To be more precise than just saying the word God. So the Lord God has created everything that is around us. And then we notice that God formed man from the dust in verse 7. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. When it comes to the other creation, it was just by his word. But just by the spoken word, he was able to bring forth everything. But when it came to man, he took time. He formed a man. He breathed into his nostrils, and the man became a living being or a living soul. If you see, it is everything that God, Lord God has done. The Lord God formed man. Verse said, the Lord God planted a garden. And then in verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden. And now notice something that has happened. This is all Lord God talking, saying, let us create man in our image in chapter 1, verse 26. Now the first conversation of the Lord God with human beings is recorded in the scriptures. And that is from Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16. Could someone read it aloud, please? The Lord God commanded the man. The first time God spoke to man was a commandment. Did you notice that? That was the first thing that he ever spoke as recorded in the scriptures. It was a commandment of God. Don't think that the law, the Ten Commandments, has come later in the book of Exodus. Lord's commandment began in the book of Genesis. Even the book of Psalm 119 that we were meditating upon, the word, commandments, statutes, precepts, word, they are all related. They are all related to each other. And here we notice that the Lord God, He was the one, He took the man. He did everything. He put everything. He could have done everything for the man to do what he has to do. But we notice that in the Garden of Eden, as it says here in verse 9 of chapter 2, out of the ground, the Lord God caused to grow. The Lord God caused to grow. You notice everything is initiated by God. The Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food, the tree of life in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There are two trees. It doesn't mean that the tree itself is so unique. Some people tend to try to say tree of the knowledge of the good and evil is an apple fruit. And they tend to create a bitten apple and create a logo out of it. And many things that have happened. But it need not necessarily be an apple fruit alone. Some people say it may be a passion fruit. I don't know from where these thoughts process have come, but we don't know what that prophet, I'm glad it was not told in the scriptures. Otherwise, we wouldn't know how it would have ended up trying to go after it. But there are two trees that are talked about. Tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is the first time the word evil is mentioned. All this while, God saw that it was good. God saw that it was very good. And now you notice a tree that is there which gives the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And here in verse 16 and 17, this was the covenant where Adam transgressed that Hosea chapter 6 verse 7 was talking about. God commanded. It's a covenant. It is a commandment as well. It is a conditional covenant, in other words. In what way is it? From any tree of the garden, you may eat freely. That was the freedom that was given to the man in order to be able to eat freely from any tree that is in the Garden of Eden. But from the tree of the knowledge. That is where the freedom of choice has come into picture. If everything was there, then there is no test in terms of being able to know whether that particular free will was given to the man. Somebody, could you please read verses 16 and 17? Any other language, please? Verse 16 and 17. Nirabhyantaranga. Abhyantaran leda. There's nothing that will prevent you from thinking second thoughts also. That is what the freedom God has given. Yes, sister. God told the consequence of disobedience as well. He gave a commandment. He gave the freedom. He told not to eat, the do's and the don't. And what happens if you don't, if you eat or disobey, what will happen also? God was very clear. Imagine God told the other way. You cannot eat from any tree. Only this one tree that you can eat. Then it would have been much difficult, right? Every tree is there, so much of temptation around me. But this only one tree, Lord? Why this one tree only, Lord? No. God instead said, you can eat from any tree except this one tree. Still what happens? Which tree, Lord? Please don't look at this board that is there. I will set my sanctuary among you. How many of us start looking, well, which one you told us not to see? Which one is that? Which one is that? We want, we are so curious to go after the things that we are told not to. Don't open this. Which one should I not open this? Don't look at this. Don't hear this. Why? What happens? What happens if I hear it? Maybe something happened. It is a nature of man that we could see at the beginning itself. And then we notice verse 18, it's not good for a man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. You see the initiation of God again. When I was reading through it, I could just see the God, a sovereign God here. That he was the one who initiated everything in our lives, except for one thing that he told to be able to take care of, which the man disobeyed later. Out of the ground, God created all the other beasts and everything. And God brought fashion in verse 22. God caused a deep sleep. And verse 22, the Lord fashioned into a man. I mean, these verbs that we see, it's a Lord God who is doing everything. He's giving some responsibilities to man as well, because he created man in his own image. Verse 23, the man said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman." Ish and Isha. Those are the two words. Hindi also, sometimes you use these words. Ish and Isha, man and woman. Woman, in other words. Those are the words. And here we see, those are the Hebrew words that I was using earlier. "And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. They shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." What a wonderful way of ending chapter 2. There was nothing hidden. Some people say, I came to know that even though they were not, it says that they were naked and were not ashamed, they were probably having glorious bodies filled with light. That is how their life probably must have been, to the extent of seeing, "Oh wow, so wonderful." Such is the holiness and the presence of the glory that must have been in the Garden of Eden. That was a turn. A big turn took place in chapter 3. Let's pick it up now. What happened? Chapter 3 and verse 1. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." Now, introduction of another character in this story. The Lord God, man, woman. What a wonderful experience they must be having in the Garden of Eden. And again, from the man and woman to be able to have that experience of being a husband and wife. Such a wonderful relationship that existed. Suddenly, the villain got in other words. What happened? Chapter 3 and verse 1. "The serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God has created." And now let's see. The beginning of the fall of man. There is no specific verse that says the fall of man, but those of us who have Bibles with headings over the top of your chapters, probably most of your Bibles or English versions might use the phrase fall of man. Temptation and the fall of man, or fall of man. That is a typical terminology that is used for this specific chapter. The word man is a generic term that is used for human beings. Fall of humans, in other words. And it all started with the first word that you and I must note it down, which is, note it down please, doubt. 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 Anumanam. Shak in Hindi. Doubt. 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 Maybe I can keep on using that word, because that is the start of the fall of man. Doubts. To the extent of doubting God. Let's read that in verse 1. "And he said to the woman," huh? How can a serpent speak? There are instances in the scriptures where an animal spoke. A donkey spoke. There is nothing to be surprised about when an animal is speaking, and serpent, Satan, enters in the form of a being in order to be able to let his things be portrayed. Satan enters. We'll see that in future as well, hopefully, where the Satan entered into a person. Satan entered into a serpent probably here, and the voice was coming out. The one behind that serpent is Satan, or the one who is instigating that serpent was Satan. You know the first thing that he said to the woman? "Indeed, has God said?" I'll stop there. "Indeed, has God said?" Please read in any other language, please. Verse 1. Idi nijama. Chal. Question. Idi nijama. That's a question mark as well in Telugu if you read it. Idi nijama. Has God said? Is that true? Questioning God, questioning God's commandment, questioning God's sovereignty, questioning God's word. That was the beginning of the fall. Doubting. God said clearly, as it is recorded in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. You might say, brother, at that time Eve was not created. Only Adam was there. And later verses say, then God created Eve. So in what way Eve is responsible for it? We don't know what all conversations must have happened in between chapter 2 and chapter 3. We don't know how much conversations happened between Adam and Eve, as well related to the commandment of God. It may not have been recorded, but we will see based on the inferences that we can see in chapter 3. Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? Did God say you should not eat from any tree of the garden? See the way in which craftily, or in other words, prudent, it says, if it is a negative way, that is used here in the serpent case, a cunning way or a crafty way. Indeed, has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? Just to be able to start a conversation. You know, it's a question-based conversation that began. The woman, if you think that God only spoke to Adam, if you think that woman did not know, let's see verse 2 what she says. The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said. She didn't say, my husband told me that God told him. God has said. She was firmly saying this. God has said you shall not eat from it. But I don't know where from the second part came, or touch it. I don't know. At least I don't read that anywhere where it is told that God said you shall not touch it. But probably as the information is passed along, you know, past the parcel or some certain games that we have, it ends up becoming something else. So we don't know where from this addition of God's word has come up. Add on to God's word to the extent of it where it says, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. God said in verse 17, you will surely die. She did not use that word surely. But instead, she used the word not touch it. You know, sometimes we tend to tell, we add something to the scriptures. Sometimes we tell our children also, something which is not mentioned in the scriptures, but try to make it so much add on. Oh, don't eat it. Forget about it. Let me also tell, don't even touch it. Or to the extent of, don't even see it. Or things like that. Add on to the word of God. The Bible says, you shall not add anything to the word of God or delete from the word of God. So here we notice that this was a kind of situation that has happened in the conversation between the serpent and the woman. The serpent took those words from the woman. And the serpent said in verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. The serpent used that word surely. But not in the right way. The serpent said, you surely will not die. First, doubt. Second, deception. You know what deception is? You know what deception is? Deception means deceiving through a lie. Telling a lie. This is a lie. You surely will not die. Genesis chapter 2 verse 17 says, you will surely die. What a negative statement that is. Totally off the way. But you know, Satan's way of dealing with it is, he will tell the lie, but he'll add some truth to it also. That is how cunning and crafty Satan is. He won't tell the full lie. At the same time, he won't tell the full truth. Very, very, very crafty. You know why he says what he says in verse 5? For God knows in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. For God knows that the moment you eat from it, your eyes will be opened. We'll read later. Their eyes were opened. And you will be like God. God himself said, behold, man has become like us. But in all this that was the truth, there was one lie that was added. What was that lie? You surely won't lie, won't die. The lie is you won't die. What a terrible situation that is. The serpent did not say, go ahead, pluck it, eat it, give it to your husband. Serpent didn't say anything. Serpent used words. Serpent's temptation is not to the extent of making us do it, but causing us to do it. The temptation has come, and then we notice something has happened in verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was a delight to the eyes, that the tree was desirable to make one wise. Serpent finished the talk. There's no more for serpent's talk. Now the woman, out of the freedom that was given to the human beings, let me tell you, don't take it, men or women here. Oh, why are you talking about? Don't become a little chauvinistic here or anything like that. We are going through the fall of man here. Fall of human beings here. Don't try to separate yourself as man, woman. But try to learn some important principles here. Because many times people get into this picture of, oh, man, woman, there's many things that have happened. But each one is equally responsible as we go forward with it. The woman saw that the tree was good for food. Good for food. Delicious, probably. It must be delicious. Good for food. And then it says, it was a delight to the eyes. Delightful. Delicious for the body, for the flesh. Delightful for the eyes. And then it says that the tree was desirable to make one wise. Delicious, delightful, desirable to have a wonderful life. We'll be the wisest of all to make one wise. These three D's as well. You may not have that. If you want to note it down, you can note it down. That there were three things that caused. The temptation came. The woman yielded to the temptation to the extent of her heart getting into the picture. The woman was affected by the serpent or Satan. Now the woman started letting that temptation conceive to the extent of sinning in the heart. The lust of the flesh, delicious, good for food. The lust of the eyes, delight to the eyes. And pride of life, desirable to make one wise. The book of 1 John chapter 2 talks about these three things. The lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, my dear. Jesus also, when he was tempted, Satan, the same Satan, tempted Jesus with these three things. The lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You can read that later in your personal reading. Matthew chapter 4 talks about that. Keep in mind the way in which Jesus was tempted, but he did not yield to the temptation. But what did this woman do? Having gone through these three aspects within her heart, that she went ahead with the third thing, which is disobedience. Doubt, deception, and disobedience. In this disobedience, there are factors that we see towards the end of verse 6. She took from its fruit and ate. She gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. That is disobedience of man. The woman must have heard from the serpent. The woman heard from Adam also about what God has commanded. There could have been, if we really think about the story, if at all the woman or the man said, who are you? How can you talk about the God who is wonderfully taking care of us, who has planted everything for us, who is enabling everything to grow? We are just enjoying the Garden of Eden here. How can you say that we will not surely die if God said we will surely die? Who are you? Let me check with God. She could have checked with God. Or she could have gone with Adam and said, let us talk to God. God, let's have a conversation. Let's verify if God really said that. Who is this? Why is he causing so much of doubt that is creeping within us? Many things could have happened, but they took that next step of disobedience. Many times, we notice this, that the first word of serpent itself should have become the stopping part. How could you speak against my God? How could you speak against my Father, in other words? Because in the book of Luke it says, Adam, the son of God. In other words, I mean, Adam had such a wonderful privilege to be created by God in his own image. What a terrible situation that is. You might say, oh, was Adam with Eve, brother? And many, many, many questions that come to our understanding. But one thing is for sure, that both took it and ate it. How it all happened? What circumstances made them to do it? Don't care. The disobedience is disobedience. God said in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 7, Adam, just as Adam has just like Adam, these people have transgressed my covenant. Transgression, or in other words, not obeying to the extent of the ones that are the things that are mentioned in the covenant or the commandment of God here. And we see here in verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. Now you see, all this time the Lord God did that. Now what happened? Man started doing things. What was man doing it? Disobedience. And once they disobeyed, both ate, it says in verse 6 towards the end, then the eyes of both of them were opened. I don't know the sequence, but at least according to the scriptures, after both of them ate, both of their eyes were opened. To the extent, it says, they knew they were naked. The glory, probably. There's no more glory. The sin, the disobedience that caused them, the light of the glory or the glorious body they might have had, now they don't see that anymore. Became shameful. Shame came into picture. The shame came into picture. The verse that mentions in chapter 2, end of chapter 2, they were not ashamed. Now in chapter 3 and verse 7, they knew they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together. They started trying to find a way to cover their shame or to cover their sin. They started trying to do their own methods of covering themselves. They took the fig leaves. I don't know, was there a fall at that time or they had to pluck the fig leaves from there? They started sewing. They were trying to do things in order to cover themselves, in order to cover their sinful nature. And made themselves loin coverings. They couldn't see each other anymore. They suddenly had to cover themselves. Earlier, the way in which they were in front of animals and all, there was nothing that prevented them. But the moment they committed sin, they disobeyed God and his commandment, they realized their eyes were opened. They tried to cover themselves. The shame came into picture. And they were trying to hide themselves between each other, hiding between the husband and wife. Maybe the covering, putting covering, they covered themselves. We don't know what was causing them unable to be the way they were earlier. Even in front of each other probably. May not be physically, but maybe to the extent of the sinful nature that has crept into their heart of hearts that they cannot share anymore with each other. How many times it is happening that this particular hiding has become so prevalent among human beings also. Forget about hiding in front of God. And they were covering themselves. They're trying to find ways to cover themselves. Now let's notice in verse 8. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They heard the voice of God. They heard the voice of God. What did they do? See, so far they were trying to hide themselves or cover themselves, etc. Now they heard the voice of God. Maybe God was coming regularly and having fellowship with them in the cool of the night, in the evening time, fellowship time. Maybe let's have prayer, daily prayer call. I don't know what kind of fellowship they were having. In the evening, cool of the day, they said, come on, let's have fellowship. Let's talk out. Tell me what's how the day went. Did you name all the animals? Are there any more missing? Or, you know, God, I was thinking I should call this this name. I don't know what all conversations you might have had. A conversation, a communion with God. And the moment they committed sin, they heard the voice of God walking in the garden. What happens in verse 8? The man and his wife. Now the word wife has come up. Man, woman, and all that is mentioned. The moment you see, they were together. But they were sinful together. The man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. They wanted to cover themselves. They wanted to hide themselves behind the trees of the garden. They thought they can hide themselves from God. They can cover themselves from God through the trees and the leaves that are there in the Garden of Eden. The shame, the hiding because of the shame. My dear, we have a God who calls us. Verse 9, please read, anyone? Verse 9 in. God is calling. God is calling that sinner, the sinners. God is calling and saying, where are you? Where are you? Are you hiding behind the trees? You are committed sin. And now you are hiding behind the trees. You are thinking that you can hide yourself. Where are you? God is asking that question. He is making the call, my dear. As human beings, we are trying to go into the darkness. People love darkness. When light is there, people love darkness because the glory of the light on them is gone. They wanted to hide themselves just like the cockroaches. Once you switch on the light, they run away to the darkness. That was what was going on. Where are you? God is asking that question even today. Where are you? Where are you? Are you hiding yourself? Are you hiding yourself? Verse 10, Adam said, I heard the voice of you in the garden. God is letting us hear his voice. God is enabling us to hear his voice. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden yourself. Respond to the calling of God. God is calling you. God is calling Adam here to the extent of saying, where are you? What is your situation? What are you doing? What is happening with you? In other words, he said, I was afraid. The shame resulted in hiding, resulted in fear. Probably he never had fear before. And a tiger and a lion and everything, he had no fear probably. Now fear crept into the life of man. Fear, afraid, hiding. What a wonderful two chapters of Genesis has ended the third chapter into the fall of man to the extent of doubting, being deceived, disobeyed, and also to the extent of having shame and hiding. Fear, I was afraid because I was naked. I know I cannot stand in front of God. When we share the gospel to somebody, when we ask some people to come, they don't want to come. They are afraid that their sins may be exposed. Who knows what kind of a situation, or they think that they are righteous, that they don't need a God who can save us. So here we notice that he was afraid, he hid himself. Verse 11, who told you that you were naked? It's not that God doesn't know the answers. These are rhetoric questions. Who told you that you were naked? Did anyone tell them that he was naked? Did Satan tell? It is self-consciousness. Sin brought forth self-consciousness. Nowadays, human beings are so self-conscious that they are not God-conscious. How should I look? What is my look and figure and many, many things? Self-consciousness. Who told you? The sin has caused man to look at himself to the extent of forgetting who this God is who has created. The God consciousness went away. The spirit that was causing them to have communion with them died. In other words, the day you disobey, you will surely die. Spiritual death. And then later on, physical death as well. So here we notice that, have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat? God is very specific in asking certain questions. Have you disobeyed my commandment? Have you sinned? He wants a clear-cut answer. What should be the answer? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? What should be the answer? Is it a essay answer or a multiple choice question? A boolean? Yes or no? Period. Have you eaten? What was the answer of man? The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate. The shame resulted in blame. The shame that, Lord, I'm sorry, I have done it. It's a confession, in other words. Have you committed sin? Answer me. Have you committed sin? The woman whom you gave me, I really don't know whether that blame is on God or the woman. Both are mentioned. You gave me. Probably it is on God only. To the extent of saying, God, you only gave this woman to me. Or the woman was the one who made me do that. No. You cannot have a blame game here. Each one of us is responsible for the sin that we have committed. Because of the sinful nature that came into us, he had to answer, yes, Lord, I have disobeyed the commandment. Simple. That is mere confession with a repentant heart. But a hardened heart, the sin that has caused so much in the heart of hearts, is hardening the heart of Adam to the extent of not able to repent or to confess the fact that, yes, I have done it. I have eaten, Lord. Period. But trying to blame it on someone else, be it another human being or on God himself or both. My dear, how many times we blame on others? How many times we blame on others? The beginning of blaming has begun. The shameful thing that has happened is the blaming that is happening. And then the Lord said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" God is asking each one individually. God is going to make us accountable individually. He just doesn't say, oh, you're one family, let me ask one question to you. Oh, you're one church, let me ask one question to you. Each one God is going to ask individually. Are you ready to answer that question? What is your answer? You're hiding yourself otherwise. So here he says, the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Oh, the situations arose that the serpent was saying so wonderful things that I started doubting you, God. I don't know, she might have thought through all of it. The serpent deceived and I ate, blaming on somebody else. Serpent tempted and I ate. That means I yielded to the temptation. The Satan tempted Jesus. Jesus said, away from me, Satan. What did the woman do? She succumbed to the temptation. So you cannot. Yes, there is influence that is happening. Some people say, oh, how could you? How did that person commit such a sin? Oh, the situations arose like that. Some situations happened like that. In that situations, he ended up getting into sin. So, is it a justifying thing? No. We are responsible for the sin that we have committed as well. And then we see, starting with verse 14, the Lord didn't say, "Serpent, what have you done?" The Lord didn't say that, because God dealt with Satan already. Last week we have meditated upon it. Satan is judged already. Again, he is once again given a decree in the form of a serpent that he was in. Let us note it down quickly. Decree. You know what the decree was? It says that you will start crawling on your belly. You will eat dust. That is, as a physical serpent, verse 14. It will never happen. Even if for those who believe evolution, it will never happen that they'll get back their legs. Because this Satan is doomed. He'll ever, forever, even if you read the book of Isaiah, where the wolf and the lamb, they stay together, it says the Satan will still be feeding on dust. That's what it says. Because Satan is given that judgment. In verse 14, as an animal, serpent, that Satan used. And then in verse 15, "I will put enmity between you and your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, you shall bruise him on the heel." And that is a prophetical message. It's called a proto-evangelos. In other words, the first good news that was mentioned. In the fall of man, God already planned redemption of man. That the seed of the woman shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. The seed of the woman, not seed of man. Typically, it's the seed of man that is talked about when it comes to procreation. But seed of the woman, because there's no man involved, and there's only one who was like that, that is Jesus Christ, who came down into this world, born of a woman, who was there to crush the Satan. To the woman, he said, "I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. You will bring forth children, yet your desire will be for your husband." This is the start of conflicts. How can you? And many things that has started off in terms of the marital relationships, as we see here. So many situations because of the fallen nature that we see. And to Adam, he says, "You just cannot enjoy the food. It's just not happening. You have to toil. You have to work hard in order to be able to eat. You will eat," it says. "Cursed is the ground. You will eat of it." And then verse 18, "You will eat of the plants or the herbs of the field." And in verse 19, "You will eat of the bread with much struggle, suffering, with toil and labor. You are going to go through it." And then he says, "For your dust, and to dust you shall return. Your dust and to dust you shall return." Chapter 2, Adam calls her woman in verse 23. In chapter 3, verse 20, the man called his wife's name Eve. You know what Eve means? The word Eve means life, living. I really don't know. Probably Adam must have thought, "Yes, I will surely die." But this prophetic message that God was talking to the serpent, "I believe there will be life." Eve means living. What a wonderful way in which he had named his own wife as Eve, as living, when there was a decree that you will die. That God has made a way that death is not the end of the story. I will bring forth life. And that is what we notice. And then we see that God gave them the consequences of sin as well. In verse 24, he drove the man out, and at the east of the garden, he stationed the cherubim. So let us notice down, he was driven out. Write it down. In verse 24, he was driven out. And then finally, there was another thing that has happened as a consequence, which is death. My dear brothers and sisters, this was the story of the fall of man. But this doesn't end the Bible with Genesis 3. Imagine the whole Bible is only 3 chapters. But we have a God who is a God of judgment and a God of mercy as well. The Bible says in the book of James, mercy triumphs over judgment. God, it says in verse 21, Genesis 3:21. Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Wonderful. Adam and Eve were trying to cover themselves with leaves. Adam and Eve were trying to cover themselves up behind the trees. They were thinking that they can try to make a covering for themselves in order to be able to approach God. There is no way. God had to make a covering for them. And that word covering is also called atonement. Atonement. Atoning sacrifice was done through Jesus Christ. Where here probably we can say that the skin, when it was brought out of an animal, most likely there could have been death. Whole skin had to be peeled out in order to be able to clothe. An animal had to be substituted for the death. That was the decree that was given to man and woman. The animal had no choice. God chose. When man was sent out of the Garden of Eden, it was also called paradise. The only ones who can enter into the paradise to eat of the fruit of the tree of life to live forever are the ones who confess of their sins, of their sinful nature, when they hear the voice of God. On the cross of Calvary, when Jesus was crucified, there was one thief who said, you bring us down and all that. He was trying to justify himself to bring down. The other thief said, we deserve for the punishment we are going through. And then Jesus makes a wonderful statement. In that he says, today you will be with me in paradise. The Garden of Eden, in other words, was a representation of paradise. Adam was thrown away from the Garden of Eden. The thief who confessed of his sinful nature and repented of his sin, having seen the way in which Jesus was dying on the cross of Calvary, Jesus gave the promise, today you will be with me in paradise. Adam was driven out of the paradise. The thief was invited into the paradise. The three verses that I want us to quickly note it down. Please note it down. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 21, 22 and 45. We can note it down. 1 Corinthians 15, 21, 22 and 45. Shall we all read this together, please? All together. And then you can note it down. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Jesus is also called Adam, but is the last Adam. He is the life-giving. Adam, through Adam, death came into the lives of people. But through the last Adam, we have gift of eternal life. If there is anyone sitting here who doesn't recognize that, the fact that Jesus has come into this world in order to give you eternal life, because we are doomed to death. The wages of sin is death. The wages of the fall of man was death. But God made a way. God made a provision in order to be able to come back. And finally, let's all read this verse and close. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. All together, please. For those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord, let us read this. But I'm afraid that as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. It's simplicity, obedience. Simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. How many times we are unable to have devotion towards Christ? It is simplicity. We are trying to complicate it. We are trying to divide men from women, saying that you women are like that. Just as a woman was deceived, your minds, doesn't say that women's minds, remember. You and I, who are called the bride of God, your minds will be led astray by the simplicity and purity of the devotion to Christ. It is a caution that is given. Take heed lest you fall. Take heed lest you fall, like what happened in Genesis chapter 3. Just as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds. Let our minds not be led astray, my dear. We may be going through struggles in our lives, marital issues, relationship problems, unknown futures in our lives, but let us not twist the word of God. Let us not add anything to the word of God. Let us not doubt the commandment of God to the extent of disobeying God's commandment. Otherwise, as God said about Adam in Hosea chapter 6 verse 7, and as it says here in 2 Corinthians 11:3 about Eve, both were responsible for the disobedience. Jesus Christ has become an atoning sacrifice for us on the cross of Calvary. For those of us who do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He's asking you, where are you? What have you done? Come to Jesus. Listen to His voice. The moment you hear His voice, do not be disobedient to the voice of the Lord. May the Lord bless this word. With our eyes closed and our heads bowed down, we are going to take part in the table that is set before us. Oh my dear, I know it took a little longer time, but it was very essential for us to know the basics of this one chapter, Genesis chapter 3. There's much more to learn, but in the interest of time, this is what we could learn as much. I would leave it to you to study more in your personal time, referring to the scriptures and learning truths from the word of God, and how we can be careful not to fall, but to stand for the Lord with simplicity and purity in the devotion towards Christ. Don't try to blame others. Oh, because of this so-and-so person, I'm not going to church. Because of so-and-so person, I'm going to stop worshiping the Lord, praying, and many things. Let me tell you, my dear, we are the ones who are going to be responsible. God is asking us. You cannot put a blame on others and say, give justification for our sinful nature or disobedience or the devotion towards Christ. How many times have we lost our devotion towards Christ because of some other person? Maybe it may be our own family member. Maybe it is maybe a neighbor, or it may be another church member. What is causing us unable to have the devotion towards Christ? Come to Jesus Christ as He calls you. He is calling you. He's calling you. We will be judged otherwise to the extent of going through the consequences of our sin. Though there is a way in which God has made a way to come towards Him. A gracious God, a merciful God we have, my dear. Though He's a God of judgment where the covenant was breached, He still is a loving God who is going after us. After so many years, He's still waiting upon us to respond to His calling. Have you responded? You are thinking, oh, I will wait for more time. The time has come for us to respond to His calling. As we remember Christ and His sacrifice, let us take part in the table that is set before us.